reading from Prophet Isaiah. See, my servant will prosper. He shall be lifted up, exalted, rise to great heights. Excuse me. As the crowds were appalled on seeing him, so disfigured did he look that he seemed no longer human. So will the crowds be astonished at him, and kings stand speechless before him, for they shall see something never told, and witness something never heard before. Who would believe what we have heard, and to whom has the power of the Lord been revealed? Like a sapling, he grew up in front of us, like a root in arid ground, without beauty, without majesty. Well, no looks to attract her eyes, a thing despised and rejected by men, a man of sorrows and familiar with suffering, a man to make people screen their faces. He was despised, and we took no account of him. And yet ours were the sufferings he bore, ours the sorrows he carried, but we thought of him as someone punished, struck by God and brought low. Yet he was pierced through our faults, crushed for our sins. On him lies a punishment that brings us peace, and through his wounds we are healed. We had all gone astray like sheep, each taking his own way, and the Lord burdened him with the sins of all of us. Harshly dealt with, he bore it humbly. He never opened his mouth. Like a lamb that is led to the slaughterhouse, like a sheep that is dumb before its shearers, never opening its mouth. By force and by law he was taken. Would anyone plead his cause? Yes, he was torn away from the land of the living, for our faults struck down in death. They gave him a grave with the wicked, a tomb with the rich, though he had done no wrong, and there had been no perjury in his mouth. The Lord has been pleased to crush him with suffering. If he offers his life in atonement, he shall see his heirs. He shall have a long life, and through him what the Lord wishes will be done. His soul's anguish over, he shall see the light and be content. By his sufferings shall my servant justify many, taking their faults on himself. Hence I will grant whole hordes for his tribute. He shall divide the spoil with the mighty, for surrendering himself to death and letting himself be taken for a sinner, while he was bearing the faults of many and praying all the time for sinners. The word of the Lord.
Thank you. A reading from the letter to the Hebrews. Since in Jesus, the Son of God, we have the supreme high priest who has gone through to the highest heaven, we must never let go of the faith that we have professed. For it is not as if we had a high priest who was incapable of feeling our weaknesses with us, but we have one who has been tempted in every way that we are, though he is without sin. Let us be confident then in approaching the throne of grace, that we shall have mercy from him and find grace when we are in need of help. During his life on earth, he offered up prayer and entreaty, aloud and in silent tears, to the one who had the power to save him out of death. And he submitted so humbly that his prayer was heard. Although he was son, he learned to obey through suffering. But having been made perfect, he became, for all who obey him, the source of eternal salvation. The word of the Lord.
Jesus left with his disciples and crossed the Kedron Valley. There was a garden there, and he went into it with his disciples. Judas the traitor knew the place well, since Jesus has often met his disciples there. And he brought a cohort to this place, together with a detachment of guards sent by the chief priest and the Pharisees, all with lanterns and torches and weapons. Knowing everything that was going to happen to him, Jesus then came forward and said,
"Who are you looking for?"
They answered, "He said,
I am he."
Now Judas the traitor was standing among them. When Jesus said, "I am he," they moved back and fell to the ground. And he asked them a second time,
"Who are you looking for?"
They said, Jesus replied,
"I have told you that I am he. If I am the one who you are looking for, let these others go."
This was to fulfill the words he had spoken, "Not one of those you gave me have I lost." Simon Peter, who carried a sword, drew it and wounded the high priest's servant, cutting off his right ear. The servant's name was Malchus. Jesus said to Peter,
"Put your sword back in its scabbard. Am I not to drink the cup that my Father has given me?"
The cohort and its captains and the Jewish guards seized Jesus and bound him. They took him to Annas, because Annas was the father-in-law of Caiaphas, who was high priest that year. It was Caiaphas who had suggested to the Jews, "It is better for one man to die for the people." Simon Peter, with another disciple, followed Jesus. This disciple, who was known to the high priest, went with Jesus into the high priest's palace. But Peter stayed outside at the door. So the other disciples, the one known to the high priest, went out and spoke to a woman who was keeping the door and brought Peter in. The maid on duty at the door said to Peter, he answered, "Now it was cold, and the servants and guards had a charcoal fire and were standing there warming themselves. So Peter stood there too, warming himself with the others." The high priest questioned Jesus about his disciples. and his teaching. Jesus answered,
I have spoken openly for all the world to hear. I have always taught in the synagogue and in the temple where all Jews meet together. I have said nothing in secret, but why ask me? Ask my hearers what I taught. They know what I said.
At these words, one of the guards standing by gave Jesus a slap in the face, saying, Jesus replied,
If there is something wrong in what I said, point it out. But if there is no offense in it, why do you strike me?
Then Ananias sent him, still bound, to Caiaphas, the high priest. As Simon stood there warming himself, someone said to him, He denied it, saying, One of the high priest's servants, a relation of the man whose ear Peter had cut off, said, Again, Peter denied it. And at once the cock crew. They then led Jesus from the house of Caiaphas to the praetorium. It was now morning. They did not go into the praetorium themselves, or they would be defiled and unable to eat the Passover. So Pilate came outside to them and said, They replied, Pilate said, The Jews answered, This was to fulfill the words Jesus had spoken, indicating the way he was going to die. So Pilate went back into the praetorium and called Jesus to him and asked, And Jesus replied,
Do you ask this of your own accord, or have others spoken to you about me?
Pilate answered, Jesus replied,
Mine is not a kingdom of the world. If my kingdom were of this world, my men would have fought to prevent me being surrendered to the Jews. But my kingdom is not of this kind.
Pilate said, Jesus answered,
It is you who say it. Yes, I am a king. I was born for this. I came into the world for this. To bear witness to the truth, and to all who are on the side of the truth, listen to my voice.
Pilate said, And with that he went out again to the Jews and said, At this they shouted, Barabbas was a brigand. Pilate then had Jesus taken away and scourged. And after this the soldiers twisted some thorns into a crown and put it on his head and dressed him in a purple robe. They kept coming up to him and saying, and they slapped him in the face. Pilate came outside again and said to them, Jesus then came out wearing a crown of thorns and a purple robe. Pilate said. When they saw him, the chief priests and the guards shouted. Pilate said. The Jews replied. When Pilate heard them say this, his fears increased. Re-entering the praetorium, he said to Jesus, but Jesus made no answer. Pilate then said to him, Jesus replied,
you would have no power over me if it had not been given you from above. That's why the one who handed me over to you has the greater guilt.
From that moment, Pilate was anxious to set him free, but the Jews shouted, hearing these words, Pilate had Jesus brought out and seated himself on the chair of judgment at the palace called the Pavement, in Hebrew, Gabbatha. It was Passover preparation day, about the sixth hour. Pilate said to the Jews, they said, Pilate said, the chief priest answered, so in the end Pilate handed him over to them to be crucified. They then took charge of Jesus, and carrying his own cross, he went out of the city to the place of the skull, or as it was known in Hebrew, Golgotha, where they crucified him with two others, one on one side and Jesus in the middle. Pilate wrote out a notice and had it fixed to the cross, and it ran, Jesus the Nazarene, King of the Jews. The notice was read by many of the Jews, because the place where Jesus was crucified was not far from the city. And the writing was in Hebrew, Latin, and Greek. So the Jewish chief priests said to Pilate, Pilate answered, when the soldiers had finished crucifying Jesus, they took his clothing and divided it into four shirts, one for each soldier. His undergarment was seamless, woven from one piece, from neck to hem. So they said to one another, in this way the words of scriptures were fulfilled. They shared out my clothing among them. They cast lots for my clothes. This is exactly what the soldiers did. Near the cross of Jesus stood his mother and his mother's sister, Mary, the wife of Clopas, and Mary of Magdala. Seeing his mother and the disciple he loved standing near, Jesus said to his mother,
woman, this is your son.
Then to the disciple he said,
this is your mother.
And from this moment, the disciple made a place for her in his home. After this, Jesus knew that everything had now been completed. And to fulfill the scripture perfectly, he said,
am thirsty."
A jar full of vinegar stood there. So putting a sponge soaked in vinegar on a hyssop stick, they held it up to his mouth. After Jesus had taken a drink of the vinegar, he said,
"It is accomplished."
And bowing his head, he gave up his spirit. It was preparation day, and to prevent the bodies remaining on the cross during the Sabbath, since the Sabbath was a day of special solemnity, the Jews asked Pilate to have the legs broken off and the bodies taken away. Consequently, the soldiers came and broke the legs of the first man who had been crucified with him, and then of the other. When they came to Jesus, they found that he had already died, and instead of breaking his legs, one of the soldiers pierced his side with a lance, and immediately there came out blood and water. This is the evidence of one who saw it, trustworthy evidence, and he knows he speaks the truth. And he gives it so that you may believe as well. Because all of this happened to fulfill the words of Scripture. Not one of his will be broken. Not one bone of his will be broken. And again in another place in Scriptures it says, they will look upon the one whom they have pierced. After this, Joseph of Arimathea, who was the disciple of Jesus, though a secret one, because he was afraid of the Jews, asked Pilate to let him remove the body of Jesus. Pilate gave permission, so they came and took it away. Nicodemus came as well, the same one who had first come to Jesus in the night time, and he brought a mixture of myrrh and aloes, weighing about 100 pounds. They took the body of Jesus, wrapped it with the spices in linen cloths, following the Jewish burial custom. At the time where he'd been crucified, at the place where he had been crucified, there was a garden, and in the garden a new tomb in which no one had yet been buried. Since it was the Jewish day of preparation, and the tomb was near at hand, they laid Jesus there.